Hey y'all, let's look at Mark chapter 4, starting in 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come." So I think here we have another example of what I've called these sandwiches in Mark, a Markan sandwich. In this case, we have a parable about a lamp, and then we have, on the other, that's bread. The other piece of bread is a parable about seed growing mysteriously. And in the middle, the meat, is this little encouragement to pay attention to what you hear and the measure you use for hearing. So let's look at these individually and then put the sandwich together. First, the lamp. Jesus says, listen, obviously we know nobody lights a lamp and then hides it. The whole purpose of a lamp is to shine and to cast light on other people. I think Jesus is commenting, though, on his own hiddenness. Remember, he's been hiding. During this period of time, he's not manifesting himself. He's not taking opportunity to show people who he is in a more open way. And he has reasons for this. But if we apply it to him, part of what he's saying is, you look at me, and who I really am is hidden. I look like just another average Galilean. But who I am is the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Word of the Father. And that is slowly, guys, being manifest to you, and one day it will be manifest to all. And so in part, Jesus is commenting on the very nature of the truth. Its purpose is to shine, but many people live in the dark, and it is going about the work of slowly shining. So there's that. And then the pay attention to what you hear. This seems to be just a simple, straightforward way of saying the truth will not be known by those indifferent to it. If you're blasé, if you're apathetic, if you don't really care, if you're being dragged along, what's going to happen is you're going to be more and more darkened. But if you want to know, and if you come with a desire to know, and you're eager and consistent, then you're going to know. So he's commenting on their attitude to what he's teaching and just to the truth in general. And then finally, this kingdom of God and the seed. Now, when we hear seed, we should immediately go back to the sower and realize that he's commenting in general on his message and how people respond to his message. And what he says here has to do with an encouragement that the power of life is in the seed and in the earth and in the sun and in the water. And what the sower does is very minimal. It's a simple cooperation with it. And so I think it's an encouragement to the disciples who are called to be sowers as well that, listen, there's so much power in the seed. It has that life in and of itself to reproduce. Your job is pretty minimal. Be encouraged that the seed is always working. There's this mysterious power of growth that is in God's hands and it's not in yours. And if you simply cooperate and wait, you'll see it, and you'll see it bear its fruit. So I think it's an encouragement that it's both a promise, the seed will do its own job, and a warning, you're not in charge of making it grow. And again, I think that that's a very encouraging thing when it comes to evangelism. Our job is to sow any chance we get everywhere we get, and to keep our eyes on whether there's fruit coming up from it. But it is not us, ultimately, that makes it grow, that makes it germinate. It is God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do our job, but we trust that he does his job, which is the larger part. And now, overall, how do we put the sandwich together? again, I think that Jesus is in these parables commenting on the hiddenness of the kingdom of God, the not obviousness of the kingdom of God, there's lots of setbacks, lots of people don't believe, there's lots of awkward responses to what Jesus has to say that make us awkward because other people are awkward, or it doesn't move along like we would like it to. It doesn't follow a predictable, controllable pattern of growth. The overall encouragement is, it's going to happen. It is coming. Jesus will be revealed to everyone. The truth will be revealed to everyone. So what is our response in all of that? I think Jesus is in that meat section and with those two bread sections, encouraging us to trust, to patience, and to energy and diligence. Trust that God is doing something and he's made us a part of it and he will eventually make it obvious. A humility that just as Jesus probably was tempted all the time to make it clear to people who he was, but he didn't. He waited on his Father's timing. So we too have to trust and be humble and trust him to show the world who Jesus is and to show the world who we are in due time. We don't need to prove it now. Patience, because what he says to us is, with the measure you measure, it will be given to you. In other words, the effort that you bring is not indifferent, it's important. And if you keep coming, and if you keep seeking, and if you're patient and consistent and come with an open mind and a desire to learn, it will be given to you. And then finally, energy and consistency, that he calls us to give ourselves. I'm reminded of what Paul says. Paul says in Galatians that we should not grow weary, but we should keep sowing because in due season we will reap a harvest. That's the exact same thing that Paul is commenting on there, that Jesus is encouraging here. That we should never faint, never grow weary, know that the kingdom is at work and that God's grace is at work and in our lives and in our hearts and in our church, and know that we will reap in due season. Just a few final comments on that and where that applies. One is it applies to us and our own character and growth. I don't know if you've ever experienced somebody observing some gift you have or some virtue you've grown in that you didn't really think you had. It was sort of hidden to you, but other people saw it. I think that's one example where our task is to give ourselves to learn, is to give ourselves to trust, is to give ourselves to obey and do that energetically and consistently and despite failures. If we will do that, the fruit will manifest eventually. Other people will see it. We won't need to call it out. But I would apply that too to the final day. Paul says that what we will be is not yet clear. But when he comes and he is manifest, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And other people will see us as we are. There is something glorious that God ultimately wants to bring out of our lives and character. But it starts in hiddenness. It starts in faithfulness. I would apply this to Jesus himself. Notice again, he's the lamp. He's the shining light. And initially it didn't shine. Even for his disciples, it shined in the resurrection. They were encouraged, but he didn't show himself to the whole world. So there will be an aspect of hiddenness to who Jesus is all the way until the end. But he gives us a glimpse of it so that we can begin to shine that light and give opportunity for other people to respond. So there remains this hiddenness, but the task for us is to be faithful and trusting and consistent and encouraged that God will ultimately bring to light the truth. And there's an Old Testament passage that I love that I think compares to this. Again, Jesus is encouraging us to come with an open mind, come with a desire to learn, come consistently, and he will do the work in us. This is an Old Testament parallel to that. This is Proverbs 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's not a description of somebody who's kind of passively showing up and letting teachings wash over him. That's the picture of somebody who brings all their faculties to the task and the invitation of discipleship, and who the promise is will come to know God. So may we bring the greatest measure we can to our discipleship to Jesus. And may we trust in all hiddenness and setbacks that He will make manifest who He is and who He is making us to be. Amen.